All right. Good morning, everyone.
I tell you, Paul gets something stirred, something up, little Paul. We call real hard little Paul.
He's oh, yeah, I love it.
Either ride or revival. And we call for revival.
Oh, yeah. Brother Harden is revival.
Hey, Brother Harden is revival.
Last week we made it to Acts 21, verse 31.
Blow your trumpet.
We made it to verse 31 in Acts chapter 21. And, all right. This is Paul having trouble because he went to Jerusalem.
Do it again. Give your chapter and your verse again.
Yeah, it's Acts chapter 21, verse 31. This is Paul having trouble after he went to Jerusalem. See, again, Paul was used to success. He was under the anointing when he was with the Gentiles. The way the anointing works, you have God's ability to fulfill and finish a specific task. So whatever you need to do it, that the anointing will help you do it. If they try to kill you, you'll be protected. And if they did kill you, you'll come back. If they rob you of all the money you needed, you'll get it again. Prosperity is in the anointing because God gave it to you to fulfill the task, and you're going to fulfill it as long as you cooperate with it. When they put him in jail, a revival broke out. And then he was taken out. They threw Peter in jail. He was prayed out. The anointing, you're almost like an indestructible man. You're like a Superman.
Uberman's
right. All right. When you're obeying God in the anointing, wonderful things happen.
You know, George Washington, when he was like 23 years old, the French Indian War. They didn't fight the way the British did. You know, the Indians were trees and stuff. They were marching and all of them riding back and forth. Everybody was falling left and right. George Washington, when he come home, he had four or five places where bullets had gone through his clothes, not touched him.
Yes, ma'am.
He later found the Indian that was ahead of it, and yes, he ma'am. Said he targeted this man to get him.
Right.
And they tried so many times to get him. He had 17 men on him. He decided he was supernaturally something, some sort of god or spirit or something. He told them, leave him alone.
They actually had that vest on display in Washington, D.C. until 2008. Yeah,
that's the protection. When you're going to do, God knew he was going to fulfill his vision.
And see, that's why
part of it too. That he knows is going to do the vision and obedience.
When you're in faith doing the vision of God and you're anointed to do it, it's got to be done. It don't go otherwise. As long as you do what you're supposed to in faith, the anointing operates. But if you go and do something else or go somewhere out of the zone of that anointing, you're on your own. That's why in Jerusalem, you go into jail. With the Gentiles, even if you go to jail, you're going to win. And people are going to get saved.
That's wrong.
Also, by doing the anointing, it's kind of like paying tithes. As long as you're paying tithes, your prosperity is continuing. As long as you're operating in the anointing, you're sowing actions, you're doing things, and prosperity is coming because of it. So if you leave your post and go do something else, you're not there doing that, the prosperity is not there. You're somewhere else and the anointing is dormant. So now you have these problems. That Paul's going through, and it's hard. Even though you're trying to do the right thing, you don't have an anointing for it. So, that's why Jerusalem he had to go to jail, and the Holy Spirit warned him several times through several people. When the Lord gave me that instruction to encourage his people to follow him, they would be centered in the anointing and be effective. But if they traditionalize their ministry and do it the way that they saw fit, they would be out of the zone of the anointing he gave them. And then the anointing, under the anointing, you don't look the same as others. You'll have a unique ministry. It's a unique post that will work. It's God's best. When he tells you to do something, he thought of everything, and that's what he That's what he decided to give you to do. Mm-hmm. If you follow through with that, you'll be like Paul before chapter 20. If you don't, you'll be like Paul after chapter 20. And you can't, he had perfect prosperity before. He had something else afterwards. And that's what the Lord, that's the kind of revelation that God gave me years ago when he had me doing those assignments. All right, verse 31. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. See, the world stayed the same. Paul changed, but the world, the hatred of the world was still there. It just couldn't overcome him before when he was under the anointing, when he was in his own, when he was on his post. They couldn't win, no matter what they tried. Verse 32, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain of the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he had came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers. So the soldiers was around him completely. For the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after crying, away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? The captain said, who said, can you speak Greek? Art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness for 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto him in the Hebrew tongue, saying.
Well, I wonder how many languages old Paul spoke.
That's a good question. Well, I know he spoke Hebrew.
Well, see, you know, you have to understand that he was actually trained all of his life.
Yep.
Probably in line to be the high priest.
Yep. Yeah, possibly.
You know, not a priest. He was the tribe of Benjamin. He couldn't be a priest.
Well, not a priest. But he said to the Caiaphas, you know, all
he was trained to be a Pharisee.
Right, Pharisee, yes. Pharisee. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand, you know, he was also trained in military tactics because the religious sect, you know, they led the armies of Israel. So they had military tactic training too. Yeah.
I didn't know that. And I didn't know he was a Benjamite. I forgot it. Or that's why he did say that when he was circumcised.
Yeah. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees too. Mm-hmm. He was one of the bad dudes.
Yeah. All right. In chapter 22, he said, men and brethren, he's speaking in Hebrew, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when he heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doeth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound to Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass.
Elaborate on some of that.
All right, I will.
Okay.
So he's explaining how he was going to put the Jews in jail and have them killed under the leadership of the high priest. He said, and it came to pass as I made my journey and was come to unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Unless you've ever experienced this, I don't know if we could ever even comprehend it. Just imagine being trained all your life, okay, to do exactly what Paul did, believing with everything that he had, okay, and so zealous and everything. I mean, he was going out and killing these people. Kind of reminds me of Muslims, the way that they're trained all their life, okay? And then all of a sudden, this bright light comes and Jesus speaks to him, knocks him off his horse. Mm-hmm. And you go listen to some testimonies from Muslims over in the Middle East and everything, how that's happened to them.
Yeah.
Zealous, too, for Allah.
I've seen it on the YouTube. I love YouTube. It's
it's really incredible. You know, you can really learn.
This is the thing about YouTube, God is always working with people. Everyday people that just love it. That's who the Holy Spirit gets down to business with. You don't have to have a long degree. You don't have to have a big name, a big ministry.
Exactly.
You just got to love God. And YouTube connects Holy Ghost people with Holy Ghost people.
Yes, sir, it's really awesome.
And some of and all the testimonies are unique, and they're, you know, it's just God working with man. Sometimes children. They can make a video in 30 minutes that just impact hundreds of thousands of people.
Get a million views off of it a week.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about all the different things that Paul had learned and experienced before he came to God. But when he came to God, saw the bright light, and God dealt with him, he said, I counted all loss. He counted all loss, and then he was able to pick it back up and see the revelation. And when he got the revelation of God's word, he was able to pick up stuff that he had learned, you know, it, but pick it up in the right way.
Yeah. He could quote the entire Torah. I mean, all of it. Yeah. Okay? And then whenever Jesus did that, all of a sudden the Torah made sense.
Yeah,
it's like it opened up. So, oh my God, there
that's what I like. In the presence of God, you know things you don't normally know.
Amen.
And if you notice, Paul was more able to do more writing than all the other disciples.
Yeah,
because he was more experienced. He was taught.
Extremely educated.
When he came born again, then God could use that what he had.
Amen.
Yeah.
He probably prepared him because he was a chosen person. Mm-hmm. We were all chosen.
You're going in the wrong way, but you're chosen.
You understand when the Lord tell you to do something, you have an anointing to do it. He don't always tell you anointed, but when he tell you to do it, you have an anointing to do that thing. And that makes a difference. Sometimes when he used to give me writings, I'd write. And it would be beyond me. I took I started going to, I finished mechanic school, and the Lord, years later, I was going to be an engineer, so I started taking English 101, things like that. But my writing was just like the Word of God. I'd make a paragraph before I put a period at the end of that sentence. And I had the biggest challenge, because I was writing biblically. And I was sitting next to a guy, and he wrote a short sentence and put a period. And then, and I saw him do it. And then I said, that's right, a sentence is a complete thought. And I had to change my writing style. And the Holy Spirit helped you work. You know, he worked with me before I used to write. But after that, he gave me more to write. Because there's so many run-on sentences in the Word of God. That's what I was used to. So I could see how Paul would write, and then Peter may have had a harder time writing than Paul, but they both, by the Holy Spirit, they did what they had to do.
Yeah, they both was, chosen to do what Peter could stand up and get, although he wasn't well-versed as Paul was, but he could stand up, the anointing came on him, and he got 5,000 saved at one time. I mean, don't always, look at the other person, look at you, what God has given you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Other people, they're blessed, and I look at them, I said, praise God.
That's right.
Because you're falling under coveting, see, to do that. And Paul said, I coveted no man.
No man.
Yeah. That right there goes along with their ministry,
yeah.
Anything.
That's what I like.
That's true. That's good. That's good, Nick.
Yeah, we're way out of time.
The anointing can make the difference wherever you need.
It's just so good. We can't hardly, but we're way out of time.
Best Sunday school class anywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like when other people progress in the Lord because everybody got something to say. Everybody's anointing can impact your life. And
yeah,
I want it.
Because we make up a body. We got to understand that we're not fighting against my
no,
head.
That's true.
It's not fighting against my
head. No.
That's right.
I pray it.
I'll be here for about a day.
And God placed you in the body. Mm-hmm. He placed you where he wanted you to be.
Yeah. One reason I value what other people do is because if they did something that was a blessing, they want a war to do it. Because I know how the enemy used to attack me when I was going to do whatever God wanted me to do. They won battles to do that.
It keeps jealousies out when you look at it and say, hey, that's in the body. He's in the body. Mm-hmm.
Kind of jealousy.
That's good. It's no room for jealousy when you think of it as a body.
Yeah, body.
Uh-huh. What Holy Ghost. What he does or what you do. It's in a body. I'm a part of that body.
It's
you know?
One work, and the Holy Spirit is the head.
Yeah.
And we're just the facets.
Yep. Jesus the head. Amen. We got to
close out, brother. All right. Good Lord, I thank you for revival.
Amen.
Praise
this
the
is
Lord.
A revival day. I thank you for your
glory to God.
For revival. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our pastor today. I know he's going to tag everything that we spoke. Lord, I thank you for revival among your people. I thank you for helping us do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.